Well, grace and peace, beloveds, in the name of our triune God, whose love joins us through compassionate hospitality and invites us to do and receive likewise. Amen. Jesus went out about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, for they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out, cure every disease and sickness. And as you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Well, that seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Jesus wanders about, teaches in places of worship and theological discourse. Jesus cures diseases and sicknesses. Jesus has compassion for those who are harassed and helpless. Great. I love it that Jesus does all those things. But then Jesus charges his followers to be sent out to go and do likewise. Really? That's a lot. Well, the caveat is all the things except for the teaching part, which, let's face it, that's kind of a relief. Teaching's the hard part compared to curing and practicing compassion for the vulnerable, right? Who of us would rather teach than go out and be vulnerable? Rhetorical question. So thank goodness Jesus keeps that one to himself. I mean, that teaching and the whole, you know, dying and resurrecting for all of us, that makes the practices of compassion meaningful. Jesus got that. That's fine. But I hate to break it to you, friends. Our call to compassion and community care has been the call of God's people from the very beginning. To practice compassion and hospitality and care for one another regardless of nation of origin or creed or any of the identities that we deem worthy of more importance than that of beloved of God. From the very beginning, God has created and invited and commanded and provided the way for us to be about care for one another, not just in what we do, but also in the receiving of that care too. Because I think the other rhetorical question of how many of us would love to help somebody but don't ever ask for help? Strong, yeah. The early stories of Genesis and Exodus and the Torah speak and point to the centrality and importance of community care. The Israelites are given commandments once they are freed out of Egypt to practice mindful community care. But we humans have a tendency to forget, and we eventually kind of create our own rules that usually, while intended for good, often create more division and isolation of particular groups of people because we can't help ourselves. So here we have Jesus calling us again to go and look out for one another. I mean, just kind of talking a really good game, right? In Matthew's gospel, he writes 5 lengthy lectures that Jesus delivers. The first and most famous is the Beatitudes, Sermon on the Mount. This one is so-called missionary discourse. And in doing that, it has kind of served as a guide for many a missionary society or even religious practice throughout Christendom, particularly with regard to this idea of traveling light and relying on the generosity of those who welcome you in. It's been a long mark of pilgrims to journey in a fairly vulnerable state. So let's name it for what it is, because, I mean, truthfully, there's nothing really noble about choosing to forsake all of your things in order to wander the world looking for people to take you in. We might have to reinterpret that in modern terms as leaving your phones and smartwatches behind in order to be fully at the mercy of hosts? No, thank you. We are not prepared to welcome strangers in that way, and if we saw anybody willingly do that, we might call for some help. and assistance. So let's think about it. What are the things that we consider essential that we would struggle to have to leave behind in order to be in that vulnerable state? What are our essentials? To participate fully in community, even. Well, you need an address where your bills can get sent to prove residence so that you can apply for a state-issued photo ID, which then lets you vote, do all kinds of other things. In this day and age, you need a smartphone so that you can be reached and have access to the internet, because the internet is now considered an essential. Regardless if you have a place to live or not, you need a smartphone. In places like Indiana, where the temperature likes to go bonkers, you actually need weather-appropriate clothing, which is gonna change every season, even if that season is spring at 9 a.m. and summer at 2 p.m. So what are you gonna do with all the clothes then that are too warm for summer or too cold for winter? What about food? Food is an essential. And if you, like me, have some weird food allergies, it gets awkward quickly. When you come to a place and are provided a meal that includes ingredients that are harmful to you, because we are taught when you are a guest in someone's place, eat what's put in front of you. I know that's a lesson I was taught as a kid. I don't know about anybody else. If you see a few nods, yeah. It's hard to be able to trust that we can speak for ourselves when we are taught to be perfect guests. Because let's face it, most of us don't want to burden anyone with our needs, especially our dietary needs, or even somebody to take care of our stuff if we can't for ourselves. We're in a culture that teaches and encourages independence and isolation, and we do not easily throw ourselves at the mercy of someone else's generosity. We love to be generous, but not receive it. And so when we do find ourselves in that position where we are in need of help, it often comes coupled with feelings of shame or worthlessness, because culture tells us that if we can't care for ourselves, there's got to be something wrong with us. Not that it's a symptom of something wrong with the system at large. But that's for a whole other conversation. I'm thinking about this because I'm preparing to leave next Sunday for a week at a monastery in Madison, Wisconsin. Holy Wisdom Monastery, if you may be familiar, I wrote about it in the Evangel for this month. I'm trying to figure out what I can pack that will limit the burden on them to provide for my weird food things. One of my weird food things is I'm allergic to almonds. But because of that, I stay away from pretty much all nuts. It's not a strong allergy, don't worry, because I know things with almonds show up all the time here. I'm fine, unless I consume it, and then I just get kind of itchy, and it's just uncomfortable. But because I refrain from all nut things, that also includes peanut butter. And peanut butter is a staple for easy sandwiches when you are with somebody who makes something that you can't eat. Oh, just make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. When you can't have peanut butter, what do you do? Thankfully, there's a thing called sunflower butter, which I have taken as a much appreciated, acceptable substitute. So this week, I went and picked up some small containers of my sunflower butter so that I am prepared, because I doubt that they will be thinking about that or have it ready. So I can't leave my sun butter behind when I'm going into this place where I will feel very vulnerable. I also know that my level of coffee snobbery is such that I'm debating if I need to pack up all of my coffee paraphernalia and bring it along with me, which is truly a whole bag unto itself. And that's even if I go for the simplest of processes, which, if you're curious, is the AeroPress. You can Google it. But Jesus gives his disciples and to us who still look to and listen for Jesus' teachings and how we can be in community better. And Jesus gives us fairly clear instructions. that because we are imbued with a gift of compassion from God themselves, we can go out in the world offering healing and hope and wholeness, not of our own accord or our own gifts or strengths, but because it is the love of God that moves through us. If all we know that we can take is that trust that God is working through us, that could be enough even when you need to carry a bag for your coffee. At least I hope so. Because compassion and hospitality are more than a simple welcome. I mean, think about what it means to you when you feel seen and cared for, especially when you are not expecting it. My dear friend Andrew, who was my roommate in seminary, and I will say that Andrew is trans, but didn't transition until after seminary so we could be roommates in seminary pre-Andrew, if that makes sense. Anyway, Andrew is one who often will send me the weirdest and quirkiest videos and GIFs and the occasional gift through the snail mail because they saw something that thought of me. And it always blows my mind when they do this. One example is this last spring, Andrew sent me a sweatshirt that looks like the mission suit from the Artemis crew. It is bright orange, and you bet I wore it while watching Reentry and Splashdown on April 11th. Or maybe you notice on my email signature, or even I think printed in the bulletin, and on my name tags that I often include my pronouns as she and they. The first time I heard someone refer to me using they instead of she, it was a really heartwarming experience, and I didn't expect that, because I don't really make a big deal, nor do I even really care what pronouns you use for me. But when I see others who feel safe in sharing their pronouns, especially if it doesn't match their perceived gender expression, it helps me feel a little bit more safe and seen and cared for. And when mine are being noticed and used, I feel seen. I feel like I belong. And I will say it's in that vein that even our name tag stickers, which I know we're not great at using, they include a space for you to share your pronouns too. Not for your own benefit, but as a sign and care for support of someone who may not yet feel safe in sharing that part of their identity. It's a sign that they can do that here. So if the invitation from Jesus in our sending mission is to proclaim the kingdom has come near, we do so by offering compassion and deep hospitality, or at least by our own willingness to practice vulnerability. Then this invitation is one that comes with deep expectations and not shallow sentiments. This invitation is one that comes with an expectation of hope and trust in one another as beloveds of God, every single one of us. It's an invitation to practice vulnerability and hospitality, and that means we will not always be comfortable or able to get through something on our own. I say this as a strongly independent person who lives by herself. The invitation means putting ourselves, and that means our whole selves, our body, our mind, and our spirits, out into a world that has the same potential to harm as it does to heal. It is risky business, but that is life of faith that moves us toward one another in the name of Jesus, whose name we proclaim. And so we are called to love one another, particularly the ones around us who are being harassed and oppressed, whose rights are less than that of decency and dignity. We are called to join each other even in the depths of those hardships, not because we will solve the problems or even offer solutions or healing every ill. Although, what if we actually believed that we could? We are called to love one another and to join our fellow beloveds, especially those whose vulnerability is not one of choice. Jesus asks us to go and be curious about one another and to be open to those who will welcome us, as well as to those who will not. Jesus asks us to keep going out into the world because God's hope and love and resilience is our gift through the resurrected Savior. None of us are condemned by our differences. All of us are redeemed by God's promise of life everlasting, a gift that has no requirements on our parts, simply enough that we believe it and trust it. And it is also never taken from us when we feel uncertain or look elsewhere for God's love to be revealed. So, beloveds, consider what it is that you proclaim when you leave this space. Consider what it means when you go out and say the kingdom has come near, even if you don't use those exact words. And I invite you, especially this week, to take time and practice a little bit of mindfulness, both as you plan and extend hospitality and compassion to others, and in the moments that you receive it, whether you have asked or it is freely given. Because ultimately, the invitation is to be amazed and active in the kingdom of God that has come near, for it is here. Amen.